Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Locked On Yankees podcast. I'm Amari Brown, and I'll be your host for this episode, breaking down all news and notes that are affecting our beloved New York Yankees. But before we touch on all the topics that are relevant with the team, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, and follow me personally on Twitter at Amari, O-M-A-R-I-I, Brown. All right, we got an excited episode for you guys planned, and we're going to touch on some players returning to action, players on their way back from the DL, why Thursday today is such an important day, and we're going to check down on the farm, because as you know, even though the depth of the farm system has been tested, the Yankees still do have a really good farm system. So we're going to talk about some prospects that are performing well, and we're going to touch on a lot of things that are just relevant with the team right now. So to start off, today is Thursday. The Yankees are starting a four-game home set against the Toronto Blue Jays. And today is an important day for two reasons. The first reason is CeCe Sabathia is returning off the DL. This is going to be his first start since he had some discomfort almost 2 weeks ago in his hip. And Sabathia, like we said, he was hurt. He hurt his hip. And also with Luis Sessa and Tommy Canley being put on the 10-day DL with an oblique and shoulder tendonitis, respectively, the Yankees can pretty much welcome any help that they can get in the pitching department. The pitching, as well as the outfield depth, has pretty much been depleted as from an organizational standpoint, and even more importantly, a 40-man roster standpoint. So it's not only are the Yankees getting back a starting pitcher, the Yankees are getting back a veteran starting pitcher that the team can, you know, CeCe is a guy that gives the team confidence, you know, especially coming off a loss last year. We all know that CeCe was amazing pitching after a loss last year. So this is going to be a welcome sight for not only the fans, you know, not just speaking from a fan's perspective, but also a team's perspective. You know, I'm pretty sure that when CeCe's on the mound, these guys feel more confident, and they know that they're going to get their best from CeCe. So that is it's great to see CeCe return, and I'm really looking forward to it. He had a decent start tonight, four innings plus. They didn't really want to push him. He got a quick hook early, but I saw some things that I really liked. Breaking stuff was good. Got a lot of soft contact like CeCe always does, this new reinvented CeCe. Backdoor breaking ball was looking good. Again, only went about, I believe it was like 68 pitches. And, you know, Boone, you know, went with Chad Green early, and it turned out to work out for the best. The second reason that today is so important is because today is the deadline for the Super 2 rule. So this is important because the Yankees have now gained an extra year of control with super prospect Gleyber Torres. So if they were going to, you know, if the Yankees are planning on promoting him, which a lot of people are speculating that they will, they're definitely going to do it now because they've gained an extra year of control. Now, if you guys aren't really familiar with the Super 2 rule, and I know a lot of people aren't, it's basically players must have accrued at least 3 years of MLB service time. So years and days before they can be eligible for salary arbitration. So players with 3+ years of service are eligible for arbitration. Players with between 2 and 3 years of service may be eligible if they rank in the top 22% of service time among players with between 2 and 3 years of service. Now, I got that information from the great people over at FanGraphs. So if you guys just want to do a little bit more research about these Super 2 rules and how teams have been manipulating this for a very long time, you can do so at FanGraphs.com. They have a lot of information over there, and it's that's where I got that. So speaking with the Super 2 rules, you see a lot of teams do this. I'm pretty sure the Braves are thinking about this with Ronald Acuna. More public and more noteworthy a few years ago, the Cubs blatantly did it with Chris Bryant. Now, I don't have any feelings about this at all. I think it depends on, you know, teams should make these determinations depending on where they are in their process or in their rebuilding, you know, process, depending on where the teams are. The Yankees right now, you know, if you haven't been paying attention on Twitter and almost every blog out there, let me be the first to tell you, Gleyber Torres is absolutely red hot in AAA Scranton right now. He's hitting over 350, he's looking great, and he's just living up to the potential that, you know, pretty much everyone knows that what he can do. So with this hot start, I'm seeing a lot of fans calling for the team to promote him to the major league roster because guys like Tyler Wade are hitting, you know, under 100 right now, and Neil Walker is underperforming. Now, I understand this sentiment, you know, by most fans, but I'm going to let you know why I don't agree with it for, you know, two reasons. One, the Yankees are struggling to find their way right now. The Yankees don't, you know, they were supposed to be this power pitching and power hitting team, and right now, you know, everybody except for Didi and Judge, you know, haven't really been consistent. Sanchez has shown, you know, the Sanchez of the past the last few times. Stanton got out to a really hot start, but he struggled mightily at home. His splits are just day and night. They're on complete ends of the spectrum. So right now isn't the time to panic. And I think putting the pressure on a 21-year-old to provide a spark, and I'm using air quotes, a spark, or be the savior isn't the answer, you know? And, you know, to a player of Gleyber Torres' caliber, he isn't a guy that you call up only to demote a few weeks later. When you call up a player of the stature of Gleyber Torres, of what we think that he's going to be, you want him to stick around for a very long time. Now, some people will say that they're fast-tracking him to the majors because, you know, he's played 5 consecutive games at third base. And my answer to that is, if you haven't been paying attention, they kind of do this with everybody. Miguel Andujar got reps at first base. Tyler Wade last year and the year before that played all over the infield. Guys like Abital Avellino play all over the infield. Even guys, you know, like Hoy Park and Diego Castillo, Wilkerman Garcia, all of these guys play multiple positions. That's how you increase your versatility, and that's how you're able to move guys and mix and match when you get decimated with injuries. So it's good that you have guys like, you know, Torres, Wade, Torres, even Brandon Drury that can play different, you know, spots in a pinch. Now, you don't want to hinder to Torres' development or even worse, his confidence. So in a perfect world, I think the Yankees would love to get everyone healthy and allow Torres to continue to refine his game and also gain more experience at second base, because second base is where he has the least experience in pro baseball. And, you know, honestly speaking, I think that's the position where Gleyber is definitely going to, you know, ultimately settle at. Because if you think about it, Brandon Drury is only 25 years old. Again, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, the migraines and things like that. But we're going to have some more information, you know, coming up a little bit later in the episode. But, you know, you look at Drury, he's 25 years old. You look at Miguel Andujar, who is only 23 years old, if I'm not mistaken, and he's starting to figure it out. And we all know what Miguel Andujar can do with the bat. And then you're looking at guys like, you know, Tyler Wade, who's pretty much being primed for the super utility role. Obviously, Didi's a mainstay, and he's not going to play first base. So second base is probably the most likely position that Gleyber Torres is going to end up at. So you don't want to rush this guy. I understand that you know, fans are just, you know, they're always looking for a knee-jerk reaction. I think we just need to calm down a little bit because Torres isn't a finished product. You know, I heard the other night that he made a base running error. I've seen him make a few errors in the field. So you want to set these guys up for success. There's a plan in place. Playing in New York, it really isn't, you know, the same as playing in a small market. When these guys come up here, it's tough. Look at what the reigning NL MVP is going through right now, you know. I think the last thing that we need to do is, you know, mess with Gleyber Torres' confidence. Because honestly speaking, I think the Yankees probably could have done a better job making sure that Giancarlo Stanton was acclimated to this team a little bit better. You know, just look at everything that he's had to battle through. He's, you know, he's coming to a new city. He's coming to a new team. He's coming to a larger market. He's coming to a different, you know, a different area where it's cold. He's not playing in Miami. He's playing in the Northeast, which is brutal. He's basically playing two new positions with left field and DH. So, I mean, I don't know Giancarlo personally, so I don't know what he's going through, you know, off the field. But on the field, that's already 5 things that he's had to deal with. And we've already seen how that's affected him. So I don't think the thing to do right now is to rush your number one prospect and, you know, basically have him, you know, We don't want him to go through what Tyler Wade went through last year. So I think that we all just need to slow down. Let's let Gleyber, you know, let's let it be a slow cook. Let's not microwave this. Let's settle down. And I think that, you know, when everyone is ready and when the time is right, I think that that's when Gleyber Torres is going to be promoted. You know, I think that the best way to slowly introduce Gleyber into this lineup is when everyone is healthy. So we can slot him in just, you know, every day playing second base, batting eighth or ninth, not counting on him to, you know, shoulder the load or, you know, provide a spark in the bottom of the lineup. Because I think that if you do that, then, you know, you're going to start playing with fire and getting into trouble, you know. So speaking of injuries, right, I think that to this point, and it's, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm always looking at it as glass half full. If you guys have listened to any of the previous episodes that I've been on, I'm definitely a positive guy because I feel like a lot of things are just, you know, even out on their own and a lot of things will regress to the mean. But honestly, almost everything that can go wrong in this season for the Yankees has pretty much gone wrong. So, sloppy infield play. There's been bonehead base running mistakes. Questionable decisions by the rookie manager. And, you know, we're not even going to get into all that because, I'll never turn this into a session where we just second-guess the manager. But the worst thing that has really affected the Yankees is this string of injuries throughout the entire organization. So, as I mentioned before in the introduction, the Yankees have 41. All right? No, listen, guys. 41 players on the disabled list throughout the entire organization. All right, it's gotten so bad to the point where the Yankees only have two pitchers remaining on the 40-man roster that they can actually promote. And honestly, it's only one of them. So the two Jonathans, Jonathan Holder, who's in AAA right now, and honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of Jonathan Holder. I'm just really not impressed. He's been ineffective for the most part, and I think that there's actually better options at AAA. And Jonathan Loaisiga. And Jonathan Loaisiga's down here, and I've been able to watch Jonathan Loaisiga, and he's good, but he's not ready because he's at High A Tampa. So basically, your option, you know, guys have to start staying healthy, or the Yankees are going to have to switch some guys to the 60-day DL because they're just running out of bodies. So today Boone updated us, and I'm just going to run through some of the updates that that Boone let everyone know about. So early in the week, Brandon Drury, who we all know was diagnosed with migraines, and he's been going through this for 6 years, and he's had blurry vision. So he went through a battery of tests, and the good thing is, it seems like he's getting a little bit better. So he was able to take live batting practice in the beginning of the week, and I believe he's been given some medication for his migraines. So that's a positive. Another positive is that Clint Frazier, Red Thunder, he's a big fan favorite. He's now a full go. So he's been working out here in Tampa with the Tarpons. Hopefully we'll get to see him in some game action pretty soon. I know extended spring training begins this week, so that's also good. Some not so good news, as previously mentioned before, Tommy Canley was placed on the DL with shoulder tendonitis and some bicep tendonitis, and he's going to be shut down for 10 days. So Aaron Boone expects him to return in 3 weeks. Luis Sessa, who I thought it would be a pretty good arm, you know, even though Luis Sessa by trade is a starter, I think Luis Sessa's future is a bullpen guy because he just doesn't seem to have it as a starter. So he would have been another weapon that the Yankees could have used and Boone could have went to for multiple inning appearances. He's been put on the DL with an oblique strain, and, Sessa's battled some injuries too. There's no update on Jacoby Ellsbury. We just added plantar fasciitis to his laundry list of injuries. So, honestly, it's been rough going for the Yankees as far as them being able to get everyone at full strength. And at this point, I'm not even sure what to think anymore. Coming into this season, the Yankees had too many outfielders. Now they don't have enough. We've had the displeasure of seeing Jace Peterson, and no disrespect to these guys, but, you know, these are not guys that you expected to be taking major league at bats, at least this early in the season in important games. If you would have told me that Shane Robinson would have started the first game of the Red Sox series in center field, I would have told you to shut your mouth because you don't know what you're talking about. If you would have told me that utility infielder Jace Peterson would have started in left field for multiple games, I would have told you that you're crazy, and I would have taken that bet every time. So the Yankees are really fighting adversity right now, and this is going to be good because it's bottomed out. It's bottomed out, you know, or it's kind of gotten close to rock bottom as you can get. Losing 9-1 to the Marlins, the Yankees are really going to have to look in the mirror and kind of figure this out. And this could be a good thing because right now, this is when teams can develop, you know, a kind of that us against the world attitude. And the Yankees need something right now to kind of rally them together. They need something to hold on to. You know how teams always say that, all right, this was the moment where it was just us against the world. I think we might already be at that point. I know I mentioned this last week that maybe a team meeting or, you know, one of the veterans, somebody needs to say something, you know. I'm not sure if Boone has said anything. I'm not really sure if Boone is comfortable saying anything. But this is where guys like Guardy, you know, Didi, and especially CeCe can definitely, you know, just come together and just talk to the team. But listen, we can't listen to the outside noise. We can't worry about, you know, what the Red Sox are doing. And, you know, we can't worry about even what the Blue Jays are doing or, you know, all the other hot starts that some of these teams have got onto. We have to focus on ourselves, and we can only control what we can control. And what the Yankees can control is going out and playing hard every day and not making bonehead mistakes, throwing to the right base, not overrunning bases, not trying to stretch, a single into a double when there's no need to. So I think that it's definitely getting to that point. So, while the Yankees are looking to get their team at full strength, if you are interested in joining this team at Locked On, we encourage you to do so. If you would like to advertise on this podcast, send us over an email and send us an offer. And that email is lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Once again, if you would like to join this team and advertise with us and on this program, the email to do so is lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Before we close out the show, I want to leave it on a positive note as the Yankees take the first of the four-game series, 4-3 against the Blue Jays. It was definitely a good effort. Bullpen wasn't, you know, it was shaky at times, but you know what? I'll take any positive performance that I can take at this point right now. But I want to introduce a new segment to this podcast. We're going to do a farm report, and I want us to highlight some of the prospects that are performing well throughout the organization. So we're going to start at low A, the Charleston River Dogs, as, you know, the short season and the rookie leagues haven't gotten underway yet. I want to highlight Garrett Whitlock, right-handed pitcher, who is 1-1 with a 2.40 ERA. Whitlock has 19 Ks and 15 innings pitched, and Whitlock is a big right-handed pitcher that features a three-pitch mix, and he's been doing very well up to this point right now. Moving up to high A is Trevor Stephans. Trevor Stephans is a draft pick from last year out of the University of Arkansas, right-handed starting pitcher. Stephans is 1-0 right now with a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 22-3. And he's only given up 3 earned runs in 16 innings pitched so far. His teammates, the first one I'm going to highlight is one of the favorites of mine, is switch hitting outfielder Isaiah Gilliam. Right now, Gilliam is slashing .370, .404, and .556 in 13 games for the Tampa Tarpons. His teammate, who I've been really impressed with, first baseman Brandon Wagner, he's slashing .308, .351, and .444. With 4 home runs in the early going for the Tampa Tarpons. The aforementioned Jonathan Luciga was actually voted Florida State League Player of the Week. He has yet to surrender a run in 10 innings pitched. And also, if you guys, for those of you that don't know, Luciga's a name to watch because he was added to the 40-man roster this offseason. So, moving up to AA Trenton, Ben Ruder, who actually skipped an entire level, He was at Staten Island last year, I believe, and now he jumped up to Double A. He's one of these guys that have taken advantage of all the injuries that have happened to, you know, this organization. So he would have probably started in High A. So Ben Ruta's getting his chance. Local kid, native of New Jersey, and he's off to a hot start in the Eastern League. Right now he's slashing .432, .476, and .514 over. Over his many games. Starting pitcher, Dylan Tate. Now, Dylan Tate is a name that a lot of us know because going back, if you guys know, Dylan Tate was the number 4 overall pick in the 2015 draft. So that's a name that people are very familiar with. If you don't know how he was acquired, when the Yankees were sellers at the deadline in 2016, Dylan Tate was acquired in the Carlos Beltran trade from the Texas Rangers. Texas basically gave up on Tate after they changed his mechanics, and he lost some velocity on his fastball, and he was having some shoulder issues and struggled. I can tell you from seeing Dylan Tate up close, he's basically filled out, which a lot of scouts have said that if that's what he needed to do to remain as a starter. And right now, in a pretty much a prospect star, for, you know, a star-studded rotation from a prospect standpoint, Dylan Tate has actually been the most impressive so far. So in a rotation that features Domingo Acevedo and Justice Sheffield, who are both top 10 prospects organizationally, I think Dylan Tate has looked the most impressive so far. So his fastball, his velocity's back, his breaking stuff is looking very sharp. And from a physical standpoint, Dylan Tate looks like he's put on some weight, and he's been impressive so far. Now moving up to AAA, the highest level before we get to, you know, the MLB, we've already talked about how impressive Gleyber Torres has looked, and everyone that pays attention to any prospect news, even if you're not too familiar with prospect news, you are aware of Gleyber Torres and what his ceiling is. A person that I want to talk about is infielder Abital Avellino, and he's been really impressive so far. So Avellino plays second base. I believe he can also play some shortstop and third base too. So again, he's another one of those versatile infielders that the Yankees, you know, are grooming. And Avellino right now, he's actually been neck and neck with Torres. So he's hitting .356, .420, and he's slugging .489. Avellino has a home run, and he leads the team in RBIs, and he's behind Torres in total bases. So, you know, with Neil Walker, you know, looking pretty bad at some points, and, you know, the signing of Adam Lind, I don't know. Maybe in the mix-up, we might see a guy like Avellino get a chance to, you know, to come up with the Yankees and, you know, possibly make a spark. I think that the Yankees would, you know, I don't think the Yankees would care if they, you know, messed up Avellino's development. I know that they would definitely care if they messed up, you know, Gleyber Torres's development. So those are just some names that I wanted to highlight. Those guys are working hard. The Baby Bombers are definitely progressing and getting better, and there's a lot of talent. Even though there's a lot of talent on the shelf, there's still a lot of talent on the field organizationally, guys. So if you're listening in any of these areas, if you're in the Charleston area, if you're in the Tampa area, you'll definitely see me at some games. If you're in the Trenton area, and if you're in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area, definitely check out some of these Baby Bombers, because the Yankees, you know, the Baby Bombers of today could be the Bronx Bombers of tomorrow. So those are the top prospect performances of this week, and I hope you guys enjoy that. And if there's a prospect that you guys want me to touch on, at me at Twitter, talk to me on Twitter, or you can reach me at Locked On Yankees Twitter handle, and I'll answer some questions on next week's podcast. So that's all we have for this week's podcast. I really want to thank you all for listening to Locked On Yankees podcast. Please head over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from and give us some feedback. Let us know what you like and let us know what we can improve on. But whatever you do, make sure you give us that 5-star rating. On behalf of everyone at Locked On Yankees team, I'm your host, Amari Brown, signing out, and I will catch you guys next week.